Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Fried fam, you have another hashtag Fried Guides episode coming at you today. We're doing more of these lately because you keep telling us that you love them, and we love to do them because we like talking about this. So here we are again, and today we will get to, after an introduction from Sarah, we're going to get to how to listen to your body when you don't really know what that means or how to interpret what it's saying or what the heck is this woo-woo nonsense anyway. But before that, Sarah and I have been talking a lot lately about the holistic nature of burnout, and I'm going to give Sarah the floor so she can say in maybe different words than I've used in the past, and maybe it'll hit somebody differently today, our general sort of overarching view of what burnout is and what it takes to recover. Sarah, go for it.
So in the almost five, in June 2024, 5 years of Fried episodes, we've been talking about the different aspects of burnout recovery, right? And we're not done. This is a lot of different topics, themes, aspects that are included in the process of burning you out and then getting you out of burnout, okay? This is complicated. Right. If you've taken the masterclass with Kate about understanding your burnout, or if you've been listening to the podcast episodes about burnout risk factors and burnout protective factors, you have a better understanding of how many things go into making it easier for you to burn out and then slowing down maybe your process of burning out and recovering. Okay. It is like the most complicated calculus equation you've never done. Okay. I took a lot of calculus. This is a tough equation. Okay. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Even, you know, when I started acupuncture school, I've been going over and over, what does health really mean? What is well-being? What does it take to be well? It's complicated. There's just so many factors, right? Like holistic medicine is saying like, we're all one piece. And that's great, but our one body is made up of, you could break it down in a million different ways, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, or you could break it down by organ systems, nervous system, cardiovascular system, respiratory system, endocrine, et cetera. There's ways that we try to break it down to analyze it and make it simpler, right? Or just focus on one piece at a time. But the reality is that recovering from burnout requires a holistic understanding and treatment process. And because each person is a little different, your life experience getting you to this peak burnout place has been different than the other person in the Facebook group that has burnt out, right? We have similar experiences. That's what this podcast is about, talking about all the different ways that we can relate to one another in the burnout process. And yet we're all a little different in the way that we get there and in the ways that what we need to get out of it. But one the one thing that seems to be true, and this is not just for burnout recovery, I think it's for real healing recovery in a lot of different ways, is hearing the voice inside of you, really listening to it, and attempting to hear what that voice is saying to you, what the sensations your body is going through mean to you as messengers for how your body's interpreting the world around you in that particular moment, as a guide to get you to a place that feels more comfortable, that feels better to you, that feels more aligned with you, so that you know yourself and can trust that you know what you need in this life that gets you on a path out of burnout and into a life you actually enjoy, maybe for the first time.
So there was a study that someone was talking about recently on a podcast, and I don't know where the study is and I don't have it, so don't ask me for it. But the result of the study was the thing that hit me the most. They were testing people's likes and dislikes and how their bodies respond to them. And in your brain, when you like something or when you're pleased by something, it's a very consistent response, right? There's a dopamine flood, their reward system lights up, etc. Mm-hmm. And what they found out was that most of us don't actually know what we like or want. We pretend to like and want things, or we think that we like and want things because we've been told for 40 years that we like something, that we want something, that we're supposed to want something. Instagram tells us we're supposed to like something. TikTok tells us we're supposed to want something and buy it immediately, right? So there's all these messages around us all the time that are telling us what we like, what we prefer, what we would desire, what body shape, what skin tone, what everything. And we're usually wrong. So this concept of learning to heed your own inner voice, as well as the signals from your particular body, because I think those are like same, same, but different things. And I think that depends on what kind of brain you have. Like, you might not have a voice inside. Not everybody does. Just like not everybody sees pictures in their head. If I say pink elephant, I see a pink elephant in my brain immediately, but not everybody's brain does that. Mm. So these two things, you might have both of them, you might have one of them, and they are part of the same system, but I see them as separate, different forms, maybe, rather than separate. Like the Hindu gods, it's all one god, but there's like 300 of them, you know?
Where do I so many thoughts came into my head while you were talking that I'm sort of like, okay, which way do I go?
Well, I think here's the way we go. First, we need to talk about what sounds the body might make that we can listen to. Mm. Right? Yeah. So just at the, like, on a very basic level, what sounds our bodies making? We were having this chat in the office hours group recently, and somebody said, "Oh, my body doesn't do that." And we were like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Yes, it does. Everybody's body does this." But there are so many physical things that we are accustomed to feeling discomfort in that we override them, and we don't know how to interpret them, so we just move about our day. So I would say step one would be, what sounds, I'm writing this down to remember, might you hear from your body?
I would say anything that you might consider a symptom, right? So a lot of times, like, you're like, oh, if I have this symptom, I have acid reflux, that means I have heartburn. And, you know, like, it's sort of like we have these clues, or pain. Pain is a big one, right? Oh, I have this pain. That means something's wrong, or my body's telling me to stop. Part of the trouble is some people are separated from their body, right? They don't have good interoception, or they've been like, well, that's annoying and in my way and I don't want to listen. So I'm going to be kind of in denial about it, right? I used to be an expert at this. Or so many times, how many times have you heard this? Patient comes in, oh, I have this pain and I don't know why. Isn't it interesting? The people say, and I used to say this too before I understood, I don't know why. It's just annoying and I don't know why it's happening. And it's annoying because of that. Instead of just going, there's actually usually a fairly simple reason why you have that pain if you really just sit back and think about it. Like, you're sitting at a desk for 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 hours a day and your neck hurts. Is that really surprising?
Well, and I think that's a super important point to like press down on. Not every single pain in your body that you feel has some crazy metaphorical meaning. Mm. Right? Sometimes we're literally thinking like, I've been sitting at my desk, my low back is aching. The message is get up. It's not like you need to change your job because this doesn't fulfill you. But no, just stand, please.
Change positions. It's been
too
long.
Stretch out your calves. Do some squats. Like, do anything but this. So I think that one of the things that people get tripped up on is that they think that the message has to be like crazily profound and deep. And most of the time, the body is pretty straightforward. Can you add metaphorical things? Yeah, Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life, that book has all sorts of metaphorical things in it. Do we understand, based on patterns of Chinese medicine and the meridians, that pain will show up in certain places if there's some other emotional thing going on in your life? Absolutely. But to get started, I want you to just make it easier. You can dive deeper. The more you learn about what your body is doing, the easier it becomes over time. But first you have to notice, oh, my back hurts. Maybe I should stand. Oh, my bladder is full. Maybe I should pee. Right? Sometimes you said symptoms and you said pain. And sometimes it's just your basic alerts. We talk about this constantly on the podcast. Why do I talk about this? Because when you pay attention to it, you grow a part of your brain that teaches you to be more in tune with yourself. And the research shows that if you pay attention to these small little things like peeing when you have to pee and drinking when you're thirsty, guess what happens? Your ability to emotionally regulate improves. What? I'm not telling you to pee when you have to be funny. It is funny, first of all. But I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm saying it because that skill improves your ability to manage your own emotional state, which allows you to make different decisions when shit goes haywire in your life, which means you have some semblance of control over your stress, all because you started peeing when you have to pee.
Or standing when you've been sitting too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And you build trust with yourself in this process, which creates safety, which is like, not only are you meeting the immediate need of emptying your bladder, you also, your body goes, oh, thank you for listening. Like, hi, I've been straining over here, like at maximum full for 4 hours and you didn't get up. Oh, now I'm making your back hurt. Body's like, okay, how about we try this? Let's make your back hurt a little bit. Is she going to listen? Is she going to listen to this one? Are you going to get up? No? Okay. How about your neck? Neck. Hello. Like, things break down. Like, our bodies can only sustain so much. And this is really what the symptom is. It's like, hey, this isn't working for me right now. It's a messenger. In some way it could become a problem, but initially it's a messenger. It's a message telling you, hey, I need something. The body's saying, hey, I need something.
Yeah.
If it's acid reflux, it's like, oh, that food was too spicy or acidic or whatever. Maybe like, whoa, okay. Maybe next time, not so much.
Yeah. So here's the initial things. Pain is usually telling you to start doing something or stop doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. acid reflux is usually telling you that something that you're eating is not quite right. And if you have it constantly, it's telling you that your gut is not quite right. Your gut bacteria is off. If you are paying attention to your basic alerts, you're hearing, you know, pee, drink, eat, move, etc. That's just the basic signals. For some reason, hives and rashes are coming into my head as we're talking about this, because this is such a common burnout thing. So many people have it, and so many people are surprised that so many other people have it. But we've heard it constantly on the podcast that, like, well, I broke out into hives so bad I had to go to the hospital, and that was the beginning of my burnout story, right? If you have hives, your first simple thought should be, is there something in my detergent or in my soap? Did I change my soap? Like, that might be the message. Yeah. Start with the simplest thing. If it's not that, then you can dig deeper, right? Sometimes the response, sometimes hives especially, are literally just a stress response. It's, this was too stressful for me. I cannot handle it. And my body is throwing out hives to deal with it. So, but I just want to continuously encourage you throughout this episode to think about the simple things first. And if they don't work, then dig, then dig, then dig, then dig, then dig.
Right. I mean, by the time people are listening to this episode, a lot of times, you know, they're in peak burnout. They've been having symptoms, or whether it's an internal health kind of symptom or a pain symptom, for a very long time, and have been either ignoring it or saying, or like going, like treating it in some particular way, but it's not working because it's persisting over a long amount of time. And those common places that you have symptoms are going to be your barometer for your needs, likely, as you start to recover from burnout, right? So if you find that your change in lifestyle, change in behavior, increase in rest, you know, meeting your needs during your burnout recovery process is working for you, and you have a reduction in your symptoms, or they go away, but then they come back, or just have a little tingle. You had a little tingle in your shoulder instead of that full pain, and you go, oh no, that's a good alarm, red flag, that you're doing something that you're, that isn't working for you. And so that familiar pain or symptom that you used to have, it doesn't mean that you're in peak burnout again, but it is telling you, heads up, something's not working. Can we check in here? You know, like, it's like the temperature gauge in your car is like into the high region, right? It's like, oh, engine's getting too hot. We got to do something about this, right? And so that symptom. So
that's a funny example, because Sarah and I were in a car together that overheated.
Yep.
2004.
Yep.
Smoke coming out of the front. It was a whole experience.
It was.
Luckily, we both had so many broken cars over the years that we're both like, turn the heat on. You wouldn't think that turning the heat on is the right response when things are overheating, but it is. And we knew that because we drove a lot of shitty cars for a very long time.
Well, right. But this metaphor works, because it's like, you have to release the heat. Like, turning on the heat is how you release the heat, right? Yes. From the engine. You blow it out the vents of the car onto you. Unfortunately, then you're hot too. But it helps the car. Same thing with your body. You need to release the pressure valve usually when these alarm bells are going off, when you have this like recurrence of your symptoms, or your symptoms are like super acute or like intense. You need to give yourself something to help you relieve that pressure, right? We talk about like completing the stress cycle, shaking, dancing. You need something that's like, turn on the heat, turn on the heat. We need to like calm the engine down, cool the engine down. You need that too on your insides.
Let's talk about personally for a moment.
Okay.
One of my big symptoms is migraines. Mm. When I was burnt out, they were brutal. Absolutely brutal. Now, a migraine means to me that I might have had some gluten by accident, or I'm dehydrated. it's shifted over time. I was having migraines two to four times a week when I was burnt out. I was living on Excedrin because I could not function and acupuncture was not touching them. Of course, I was doing it myself, which was probably not my best choice. Right. But that was one of the big things for me. And am I completely free from migraines now? No, migraine is one of the things that I now can carry as a like a good little friend in a purse that says, that comes out once in a while and reminds me that there's a need that I'm not paying attention to.
Do you also get them if you overdo it? Like over kind of overspend your energy or you don't rest?
I haven't done that in a long time, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't really overdo it much anymore.
Love it.
That doesn't happen very often. I think that it might, if I overdid it consistently for like an extended period, but I don't really overdo it anymore.
Good job. That's no small feat.
I just don't bother. I don't bother to overdo it. There used to be so many things that bothered me about like not being done or not being proper, not being. I'm just now updating the Fried website so that it looks like we actually do the work that we do. Because it's been, I started that website 5 years ago when I started Fried. I put up some really generic information and didn't touch it for 5 years. Probably cost us, I don't even want to think about how much money because I didn't do it. But
you're doing what you can.
Well,
you've done what you could.
Yeah.
And you've been honoring your capacity.
Yeah. And I didn't.
Focusing on other priorities.
Yeah. I wasn't like worried about that. Now I have the capacity and I'm working through it. You know, I think it's like, I would have never been able to live the life that I live right now 5 years ago to 8 years ago. It just wouldn't have been possible.
Say more about that. In what way?
I don't make more money. I actually comparatively make less money now than when I was living in Prague. More money in dollars, but less money compared to cost of living. So I'm making less money. Marcin is making the same amount of money. So that hasn't changed. And I have always worked like I was about to be broke. So I didn't allow myself to do less or to pull back. Because I've always worked for myself. So I thought I have to always do more to have more to blah, blah, blah. And I have just stopped living that life. I literally have less purchase power than I did before, but I don't care. I don't care. Like, it's like,
well, you're investing it very differently than you did in the past, right? You're investing it in the business.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, what's the point of being an entrepreneur who is a burnout recovery coach if I'm still functioning like I'm about to be on the streets in any second, which was a story anyway. Right. It's like, so when you say I couldn't have lived this way 5 to 8 years ago, it's because like mentally you wouldn't have let yourself live the way you live now.
Yes.
So it is a major change in what is guiding you to make choices and what's guiding you to make certain steps in this direction or that direction. It used to be like, I just have to hustle so hard because I never know if I'm going to make the next dollar tomorrow. So I better make it today. Right. And that was driving you into the ground, right? Into burnout. This is like hustle culture. This is the burnout culture. This is everything that I loved that episode with doctors Kristen and Aaron. I mean, they just said things we've said before, but just like everything was just, I was just like, oh, every 3 seconds.
Well, and in one of the things that came up in that episode, so let's talk for a minute about why people ignore these things that they're getting from their body, the sounds that they might hear, why they're ignoring them. Reason number one, you're ignoring them, in my mind, is because you've been taught to ignore them. First of all.
Yep.
Like, if you were in the United States school system in public schools, I don't know how it worked anywhere else. All I can say is you have to raise your hand and ask to go to the bathroom. And sometimes they say no. So if you had to override your own information on a regular basis, well, then of course you didn't listen. If you were, this is now changing because people don't put up with things the way they used to. But if you, Sarah and I both grew up as gymnasts, you play through the pain, man. Pain is not a reason to stop. Pain is a reason to add tape.
Add tape. Oh my God. I had so much tape on my body and ibuprofen in my system. I mean, I went to the doctor a couple times for pain that was chronic. That was a problem for me, right? It was getting in my way of gymnastics. And they're like, tendonitis, take ibuprofen. I'm like, all the time? They're like, all the time. I'm like, okay. Put some tape on, put a brace on, like those kinds of things. And so I just kept going.
Yeah.
Tumble through the pain.
Reason number one, you were taught to do it that way. Reason number two, you were encouraged to do it that way. Right? Like this is, so again, I come back to this idea of burnout not being your fault all the time, but this is why.
Yeah. You were trained, and even the school nurse, right? If you had something other than needing to go to the bathroom, if you had some other need, you didn't get to go to the nurse unless
you were puking or had a massive fever.
Right. But even then, I remember I was like, sort of like I say traumatized lightly, but I think literally, because partially I didn't have children because I didn't want to deal with vomit because the kid next to me in second grade puked on his worksheet right in front of me. The teacher washed it off and made him do it. He didn't even go to the nurse. He just puked and then like had to do his worksheet. What? That was not okay for me. But it was like, you couldn't even like go to the nurse when you were going to puke.
You remember Carrie Strug's vault?
After yes.
Her ankle?
I posted about this the other day.
That was you that posted it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Her coach, like she was, couldn't even put weight on her ankle. And her coach said, do it again, do another vault. She had to sprint top speed towards a solid object, hit a springboard, do multiple flips in the air, probably at least 20 feet in the air, and then land on her foot she couldn't put weight on. And she was considered a hero for doing that.
And what was the story that you posted?
Simone Biles, right? She's the greatest gymnast of all time. At this point, last Olympics, she, in the middle of the Olympics, was like, I'm out. And everybody was so upset with her. Well, some people were very upset with her because the country was expecting her to win gold medals for the United States. Okay. And she found it, like gave herself permission or someone else gave her permission, but she allowed herself to say, I am not okay right now. And so I'm going to bow out, even though the literal world is watching. And my country is dependent upon me for these gold medals. She said,
The other thing that was in the story that you shared was that a mother was sharing Carrie Strug's vault with her daughters and say, well, look at this thing that she did. And the daughters were like, why would she do that if she was hurt? Like, kids are different these days.
Yay.
They're not being taught the same things, which is wonderful. But if you were taught those things, it's not your fault that you're not paying attention.
Right.
And so the next question that I want to ask, the next thing that I think we should dive into is, we talked about what sounds you might hear. We talked about why you might not hear them right now. But how can you start to hear them if you don't hear them?
That's a good question. So in the office hours, right, we had that woman who was like, oh, I don't get messages from my body. And we said, hey, hold up. Like, what do you experience? Like, how do you know you're burnt out right now? Right. And she said, oh, well, I get this horrible pain in my arms and my hands, like tingling and aching. And I said, that is how your body's talking to you. Right. That, like I said, like people think of that as like, oh, it just is a problem or it's like a sign or a symptom, but it is your body talking to you. So if you maybe ask yourself that question. How do I know I'm burnt out right now? It might be the brain fog. It might be a loss of memory. It might be anxiety. It might be pain. It might be digestive upset. It might be exhaustion. It might be I can't sleep. It could be a variety of things. And we know they're annoying. And so when something's annoying, you want it to like shoo fly, don't bother me. Like, I want to ignore you.
Yeah.
Cause it's there nagging at you. Just like, God, get the fuck away from me. Like, I'm done. I don't wanna pay attention. But if you just kind of shift your focus and say, how do I know I'm burnt out? What are the ways my body's talking to me on a regular basis? Those are the things you could start to pay attention, a little more attention to. One thing that I found that's really interesting is that when I have a pain for a while, and I sometimes ignore my body too, even now, even though I know better. But if I go, hey, okay, hold on. Like recently my left ankle has been hurting above the ankle bone. And it's been a while, it's been a few months. And I'm just like, I don't quite understand it. But I hadn't given it enough attention. I was just annoyed by it. So I started going on a hike the other day, and then I said out loud, okay, my ankle's hurting again. Hi, ankle. I hear you. You're right above the lateral malleolus, but like on the bone, and it doesn't feel like a muscle. It feels like it's in the bone. And I really like tuned into it. Guess what? Stopped hurting 2 seconds later. And I was like, oh, you just needed me to acknowledge you. Now it's come back since, but in that moment, it was like my body just needed me to actually bring my attention to that place, say hello, acknowledge it was happening, that there was a need. And then my body was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for listening.
I will say that a lot of times for me, symptoms that are recurrent that I'm not paying much attention to, the end message is go get some care.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean going to the doctor, but it might mean booking a sauna day. It might mean getting a massage. It might mean, but usually there's something about what I'm doing that's depleting me, and I need somebody else's energy to like fuel me up, to like help me get through this thing. And this is something that I fought against forever because I don't want to need people at all.
Sarah, me either.
This is a huge point of contention for Sarah in our relationship because she's like, will you ever tell me that you need something? And I'm like, no, thank you.
Well, I can tell you a story about this. Yeah, happened to me last week. Okay. Yeah. I consider myself like I'm doing a good job. I am recovered from burnout. I don't feel like I'm like in burnout recovery, but I'm still practicing all of the techniques and tools to listen to my body, to identify my needs, and to attempt to get them met. Okay. So I just moved into a new apartment on my own, first solo apartment, right? I was at a baby shower for my cousin, and my aunts are sitting around. And I just had this thought. I was like, hey, I've never been married and I've never had a baby. So nobody's ever thrown me a shower. And I was like, could we have I'm super excited. I never got married and had babies with any of the people I've been with shower / apartment warming. And they were like, yeah, let's throw you a shower. Okay. Let's like have a party. So they were into it. Okay. And now I'm like, oh, yay. Cool. I'm going to like, I can get some help with my new apartment. They're like, what's your list? Send us your list. Okay. Part of the reason I knew I need to live on my own is so that I could practice my preferences. We talk about this, right? What do I want on the wall? What colors do I want? How can I make it a sanctuary for me? Because my default is whoever I've lived with. Oh, you have art? Let's throw that up. I don't care. Just like, I'm fine. You like it? Great. You like it. I like it. It's fine. But I was like, no, it's time for me to decide what I like. Right. So making the list of what I want already, like I have to actually tune in, decide what I want. I managed to do this. Okay. I make a spreadsheet of it. I send it to my family members. It's taken me weeks. Okay. But the party's coming up. So I'm like, I gotta do this. I'm done. Cause I've sent it out that night. I'm awake from 3 to 5 AM tossing and turning, can't sleep. I'm just annoyed I can't sleep. And I'm like, in the moment I'm thinking, I'm not even like really ruminating on anything in particular. My thoughts were all over the place, but I finally fell asleep. Okay. Then the next day. So here's a little Chinese medicine for y'all people. There's a Chinese clock and each organ system has like a 2 hour chunk that they kind of have their time to shine where they're like the most functional, right? Okay. So I think to myself the next morning, I go, oh, 3 to 5 a.m. huh? That's long time. And then I go, okay, grief, guilt, or sadness. Was that involved? And I go, oh my God, I was totally having a guilt attack from 3 to 5 a.m. that woke me up. Because once I thought about it, I was like, I was, oh my God, Vanessa, if you're listening to this, I had your jingle on repeat in my head, which was also a part of the clue because broken record worry is earth. Okay, this is my home constitution disharmony. But I was like, oh, broken record. But then I was like, I kept going over, what are they going to think of what I put? I put goddess statues on my list. My family is very Christian. They're not going to want to buy those things for me. And I was like, oh my God, what are they going to think? They're going to like, what are they? I don't know. I was just going over and over. And I was like, so I had a meltdown because although I've gotten very good at taking care of my own needs, I have not really, I've been asking for help in some ways, but not for my family, which is sort of the root of this disharmony, right? Of asking others for help. So I was like, I'm laughing now, but it wasn't funny at the time. It just like the irony of it, like, oh, this is my, I'm still at a growth edge. I'm asking people for help. I'm asking my family for help right now. And it is.
I would have been self-judging for anything that I put on there that was more than like $32.
Well, there's that too. And I also put, this should, you'd think in some ways would be helpful, but I put like, hey, I would love these things, but I would love it if you could get it from like Mercari or Facebook Marketplace or Buy Nothing, like, because I'd rather get used things in good condition and not buy new things from the internet and not use Amazon and whatever. This is my personal kind of ethical preference, but I asked them for it. And then I was like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm so weird. Nobody, mind you, has said a word to me. So gratefully, my family's not beating me up for this, but my head is imagining them saying all sorts of awful things because I've asked for help.
Yeah.
This was last week. It's been five years since I knew I was burnt out.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. We just like the practice continues.
Yeah. So what that brings up for me is this, that sometimes you can't quite figure out what your body is saying and you're not quite sure. And that is, for me, one of the reasons to tap into other people's knowledge. Sometimes a Chinese medicine thing will help me make sense of it, like the clock. You know, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, this is an interesting time for this to happen. Like, huh, okay. And sometimes where it shows up on my body, I can interpret with Chinese medicine a little bit, right? Like having really tense upper shoulders, like traps in upper shoulders, is typically a liver gallbladder issue, which is typically related to anger, resentment, et cetera. So we can play with those things with Chinese medicine. And this is actually one of the things that you do in Unfried.
Yep, I do. So in Unfried, you know, we start with, like we talked about, the risk factors and the protective factors, just so you get a holistic understanding of why burnout isn't your fault, but maybe how you got to where you are and what you might need to get out of it. But the rest of the program is rooted in Chinese medicine. We go in a particular order on purpose to help support your system, clear out and create free flow in your body. Recently, we talked about, right, where there is free flow, there is no pain, right? There's that Chinese medicine phrase, where there is free flow, there is no pain. So we go through we basically go through the five elements in order and help each of your body system, even though we're talking about concepts and working a lot more on like emotional regulation tools or like mindset, this is supporting your physical body and your organ systems, the energy in your organs as we go through Unfried. Do you have any particular things you want me to say about that?
No, I think it would be, that's a whole nother episode.
I know that I would love to talk. If you want me to talk about that, folks, you tell me. Okay. Cause I can certainly say more about that if you're interested.
Certainly play that game. So here's what we want you to do today. We want you to take some time. One of the things I didn't mention for how to tune in that I find useful is yoga nidra. I recommend it for a million things all the time. But when you're doing yoga nidra and you're being told to relax your jaw, release your forehead, like rest your neck, whatever, it's going through your whole body step by step, you will pick up on places that are a little more tight than others. This is a really good way to start building a relationship with your body. Sometimes it tells me to relax my jaw and I can just like, gah. And sometimes it tells me and I'm like, not quite yet. You know, sometimes I fight against it. And so using that to see what patterns show up in your physical body is not a bad idea. But whether you want to do this body-based or brain-based, I want you to either take out a piece of paper and answer the question that Sarah asked, like, how do I know that I'm burnt out? What are the signs in my particular body? And then go to head to toe. Do a mental scan of yourself. And if you do better tuning into your physical body, then do a yoga nidra scan and then write down what you find afterwards. So I think that there's the thing that I would love for you to do is to spend 10 minutes with your body and just do sort of an overview. You're not going to get everything. I miss shit every day. But just do an overview.
The thing that my mouth is itching to say is that if you're brand new to this idea and you haven't really ever scanned your body and you've been avoiding listening, if you, like, maybe you are having a lot of symptoms, but you're more just like, you're annoying symptoms, go away. Like, ugh, you haven't really like tuned in. It might be overwhelming to tune in, right? Because when you're in burnout, all of your alarm bells are firing, right? We know your nervous system is in high alert. So it may feel like it's an emergency when you tune in. And that's because it is. Your alarm bells are ringing. Okay. So sometimes that can be like a lot to kind of really feel into. So do it in doses. Don't do 10 minutes. If it's like, whoa, that was a lot. Okay. Come back to the room you're in. Open your eyes. Here's my bedroom. I'm laying on my bed. I'm technically safe. Nothing's on fire in my room. My body might be on fire on the inside, or it seems like it, but like, take in the room around you, tune in with all of your senses, see what you see, hear what you hear, let the sound come to you and just go, okay, here's my room. And then close your eyes again, if you want, or don't even close your eyes, just tune in. Now, what does my jaw feel like? If your alarm bells go off again, come out of your body, come back to the present, come back to where it's safe. Okay, do this in like little titrated doses so you don't completely overwhelm your system and never do a yoga nidra again.
Yeah. And you might not know for the first few weeks or months even what the message is. Learning first to listen is the first step. That's what we need you to take from today.
You don't have to interpret.
Have to interpret. Not today. We can go into that more. We can use the Chinese medicine stuff. We can go into that more later. If you are going to do any interpretation, stick with the basics first. If you have a rash, check for your soap. If you have a pain, move your body or stretch. Like, do the simplest things right now. Because as you start to interpret, in order to understand that you're on the right path, you need to have trust with yourself. You build that trust by listening. Mm-hmm. Right. I hear a lot of people in the beginning of burnout, they're like, well, I have this and it's because XYZ. And I'm always like, maybe, maybe not. So you don't have to go directly from listening all the way to interpreting and responding phase right away. Just practice the listening portion. Just start figuring out how to say, okay, I see you, like you always say, right? I see you, I notice you, I feel you, I hear you.
Acknowledgement. Acknowledge your body.
Listen and acknowledge. These are the steps for today.
Why are we doing this? So we started off saying, Burnout requires a holistic solution. The information you get from inside your body is that voice or what you hear coming from your body ends up to be your guide on your path through your burnout recovery. You'll get better and better at that. You may need outside people's help, outside perspectives like Kate and I, right? We have this information. We know how to sort through. If you tell me, oh, what, you feel this, this, and this, then I know, oh, that's this organ system or this pattern or whatever. So if you try to listen and it's hard for you, that doesn't mean don't ever do it. But like, ask for help with the listening. Ask for someone to hold space for you while you do it or fuel you, your needs, other care, as you've called it in other episodes first, and you'll get, and just keep practicing little by little, right? So if there, that this is one thing we could, you know, we said, we don't have one recipe for burnout recovery. We just don't, because we're all different. We all got here differently. We need to get out of it slightly differently. Okay. But this listening piece is useful to everyone. We can 100% trust in that, which is why we keep talking about it. You can be your own guide out of burnout. It's not easy, but it starts with this one step: tuning in, acknowledging. You will get the information you need. You will. I did. Kate did. Many other people have that you've heard interviewed on the podcast, right? Let our experiences give you an inkling of hope that you will learn to listen to your body and you will be guided out of this place that you're in now that completely sucks to a better place.
The more you learn about it, the more you know, the more you understand, the more it's easy for you to decipher. Even listening to this podcast episode or any other, it's easier for you to decipher which things you should take on and which things you should not do right now. Not everything we talk about on the podcast is going to work for everybody, right? That's just not even feasible. So if there's something that you're passing by and your body says, "Bleh," well then, cool, don't do that. But you have to create that conversation first in order to understand that your body is either yearning for something that we're talking about or is shutting down and saying, "Motherfucker, no."
Yeah. But that's a good way to know. Like if you're like, "Nope, that episode's not for me," that means you already are listening.
Exactly.
That's one way that you're listening. So if your instinct is, "Oh, I don't know how to listen to my body." If you've said no to when someone offers you a sandwich because you know you don't like it, you are listening. You are practicing listening in these particular ways. And now it's time to practice listening in this new way, where you're listening to kind of symptoms or pain as a messenger instead of just an annoyance.
Pride fam, we adore you. Let us know what you are looking for next. Don't forget to sign up for the Unfried waitlist if you are not already on it, because Sarah is opening new cohorts every time the waitlist is full and has a similar time frame. So if you've been wanting to get into Unfried and you haven't been able to make a cohort, we need you on the waitlist, because that literally guides when we start and when we choose a new session. So this is totally guided by you. If you don't fill it out, we're not doing it. So
right. And so if there's a particular day or time that you are like, "I could only do it on Thursday mornings," like tell us that, because others may have the same request. And when there's, you know, up to 7 of you that have that request, your wish can be granted. You just have to ask for it, which I know is harder than it sounds. Like I told my story about earlier.
Exactly.
It's okay to ask for help. We want you to ask us for help.
Yeah.
We want to know what you want help with. We have ideas, but when you tell us more specifically, then we can create offerings to provide that for you.
All right, fam. We can't wait to talk to you again. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.